Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to City Hall for tonight's regularly scheduled City Council meeting, and I should add, the last council meeting of the year.
Very good.
The media is called to order. We kindly ask our city clerk to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Donald Cummings.
Here.
Ralph Dantino.
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan. Sam Hill.
Here.
Dean Kilberg.
Here.
Craig Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks. Don Singer. Don Vogelsberg.
Vogelsberg here.
Ooh.
Oh, that microphone was close, wasn't it? My apologies. For those of you tuning in at home, Alderman Vogelsberg is joining us by phone, which is permitted under Illinois statute, permitted only under the circumstances of either an illness or traveling on business, and Alderman Vogelsberg is home tonight with the flu. So thank you, Dawn, for not joining us live.
You're welcome.
We begin tonight's meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, and golly, man, we've got a distinguished guest in the audience tonight. What are you turning around for? Do you want to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? That'd be awesome. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's our good buddy Terry from FONA, man. How's it going? Good?
Excellent.
Good? Good?
Here.
Folks, we know that millions upon millions of words have been spoken in support of and in tribute to those fallen in Newtown, Connecticut, but I think it's only appropriate that the city of Geneva, through its elected leaders, go on record as well, that we too express our obviously deepest sympathies to what transpired, and of course, as need be, lend our voice to the conversation that will inevitably take place in this country regarding many of the issues that are circulating regarding these events. But the city does lower its flags to half-staff to honor the fallen, and it's worth noting, of course, to also honor those first responders whom we, day in and day out, work with and can only, or I can't, quite frankly, comprehend what they witnessed and had to go through as well. So if we could just have a moment of silence, I would appreciate it. Thank you. Item 4, amendments to the agenda. Is there any amendments to this evening?
Yes,
Alderman Maladra?
May I like to amend the agenda to include a closed session regarding the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the public body and the setting of a price for sale or lease of property owned.
That motion by Alderman Maladra is accepted and seconded by Alderman Brown. Any questions or comments regarding that motion? A roll call vote is in order. Mr. Clerk?
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Donald Vogelsberg?
Vogelsberg, aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Donald Cummings?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Item 5 is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine by this city council and can be enacted after a motion is offered, seconded, and approved. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes the motion. Alderman Singer makes the second. Any questions? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Vogelsberg, aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Donald Cummings?
I'll abstain from December 3 minutes. I was absent.
Otherwise, aye.
Yes, sir.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
I'm not sure how to record that one. Motion passes with save for one abstention on only the December 3rd minutes from Alderman Cummings. According to my notes, we skip down to item 9A. A policy discussion on summer water sewer credits. And we know this is why all of you came out tonight. This is exciting. We have our superintendent, Mr. Bob Van Gescom, with us this evening, as well as our director of public works, Mr. Dan Dinges. And Mr. Van Gescom is going to lead us through really an update because we've had some discussion on this before, but some updates, if you will, and tonight's really the night when the rubber hits the road, if you will, with respect to direction, I believe. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you. Good evening. In October of 2010, sewer credits were suspended based on the condition of the sewer fund. And during recent rate study meetings, sewer credit discussions were requested by the council members. Tonight's staff is presenting data on the impacts of the sewer credits to this fund. As a point of reference, I went ahead and listed our current ordinance, which refers to non-residential customers receiving a credit. I won't go ahead and read the entire thing, but basically if the council would allow, that customer could install and maintain at their sole expense metering equipment to allow for a credit. What I wanted to bring to your attention tonight is during the last, as you can imagine, summer, with the heat and the dryness that we had several residents contact us regarding a need or a want for a summer sewer cap on their utility bill. So what we did and presenting you tonight is what I did is I took a random sample of residential customers. I took with automatic irrigation systems and those without automatic irrigation systems. So you could see the difference in those two to see the effect on the fund. In order to determine the cap on charges, we took the most common way of doing that when we surveyed the area, the other area cities, was to take the winter months and average them for the individual customer. We increased that average to determine the summer cap. Usually was between 130% and 150% of that average. So moving along, you have the residential summer sewer cap with automatic irrigation systems. We took two different years and averaged them. We took the, or not averaged them together, but individually averaged them. The summer of 2011 was a very wet year. The summer of 2012 was a very dry year. So we wanted to give you the perspective of both of those years. We took the average of the winter months, like I had said, and we added in a percentage to determine the cap. The idea behind it was that no sewer would be charged above that percentage during the months of June to September, which equated to 4 months. When we looked at 130% of the utility bill as a cap, the total average savings for 4 months in 2011 would have been about $130. If you go over to the right side of your handout, the total average savings for 4 months in 2012, obviously quite a bit different, would have been $270. If we move to 150% of the winter months, you look at a total average savings for those 4 months of 2011 at $110. And 2012 of $250 to those customers. Now we have 593 residential irrigation systems within the city. So at 130%, the total decrease in revenue for the summer of 2011 would have been $77,090. And in 2012, at 130%, a total decrease in revenue for the summer of 2012 at $160,110. At 150%, the total decrease in revenue for the summer of 2011 would have been reduced to $65,230, and at 150% in 2012, the decrease in revenue would have been $148,250. Significant difference based on the dryness of the last summer. When we take into account the sewer cap of those affected or those which would receive a credit, those without automatic irrigation systems, same way of figuring the numbers here. We took an average of the winter months plus the percentage to determine the cap. Once again, no sewer charged above that percentage during the months of June to September. In 2011, we had 18% of the residential customers of those would receive the benefit from the cap. In 2012, a significant difference, 64% of the residential customers would receive benefit from the cap. At 130%, the total average savings for the 4 months in 2011 was $25. At 130% in 2012, once again, it was $25, same as in 2011. You can also see the same figure in 2000 at 150% in 2011 and 12, as far as being $18 being the total average savings for the 4 months. We have 6,700 residential customers that would be remaining in our database for receiving that credit. So at 130%, the total decrease in revenue for the summer of 2011 would be $32,600. And in 2012, that same 6,700 residential customers would increase the decrease in revenue for the summer of 2012 to $112,800. Significant difference. At a 150%, the total decrease in revenue for the summer of 2011, $24,000. At 150% in 2012, decrease in revenue for summer of 2012 would have been $66,000. Total budget impact for the residential portion of our community at a cap of 130% would be anywhere between $109,690 to $272,910 to the fund. Our annual sewer sales budget is $2,502,000, so we're looking at about a 4% to an 11% impact to the budget. Also at 150%, the residential customer cap, the impact would be anywhere between $89,230 to $214,250. So we're looking at a 3.5% to 8.5% impact of the budget. At this point, I'd like to stop and take any questions on the residential side of the question.
We'll begin with questions from the dais, unless there's anyone in the audience who wishes to speak to this matter regarding residential impact. From the dais. Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, I find there's no impact on the budget over averaged over a few years because we adjust our rates to maintain a fixed amount of cash or cash flow within the fund. So presumably, if we put this into effect, so the amount of money is coming in a dry summer or a wet summer is less, in the succeeding years, we would have to adjust our rates to get the cash flow back up. So on average, everybody's rates would go up enough to cover this loss. Unless we do something like change the number of people in the department, and the number of people in the department is based on the actual usage, not on how we tend to meter it or bill it. So over a number of years, since this is an enterprise fund, it's a nonprofit fund, there is no savings in any real sense. The total amount of money that residents spend for their water and sewer averaged over a few years is basically what it costs to provide the service, because this is an enterprise fund, a nonprofit. So I don't see what it represents is when you first implement this, you all of a sudden have a problem with cash flow coming in. But as soon as the cash reserves in this fund get low, we would have to raise the rates to get that money back again. So it's just a question here, and is treating the non-automatic systems and the automatic irrigation system is different, because there's a significant difference in the size of the effect in the two different cases. I noticed that the automatic irrigation systems are only 8% of the customers. So we're talking about a small fraction of the customers here. And there, the difference is more than a factor of two in how much we would be rebating to the customers between the automatic and the non-automatic. Am I getting these numbers right here?
Yes. What I did was, to be able to come up with the numbers, I had to take away the irrigation systems, the automatic irrigation systems, from the non, only because it was obviously when you have an automatic irrigation system, the usage is much higher. So it's the greater percentage of people receiving any type of credit or cap would be those irrigation.
So I'm correct that for the non-automatic systems, the small amount of savings we're talking about would disappear, because as the cash balance of the fund went down, we would have to increase the rates in future years to basically get the cash balance back where it belonged. So that $10 to $25 would basically disappear within a couple of years in the need for an increased rate. So the only question here is the large amount that this would then rebate to the 8% of the customers who have the automatic irrigation systems. That's the fundamental question we're asking, right? Should we be giving a special rebate to the people who have the automatic systems? It's 8% of the customers.
Right, but to all customers.
We'd be giving it to all customers, but the small amount that the non-irrigating systems would get would, I would think, just be wiped out by, as I say, the fund is a zero profit. The amount of money it takes is the amount of money it takes to operate your system, independent of where it's going. So that would all average out. Who has the automatic systems by definition, because they have to register and they have to have certain state permits to have a system, et cetera, right? And they have to have their backflow things checked once a year, et cetera, for which they pay a fee.
Correct.
So it's more than, there's more on the table in some sense. At the moment, they're paying extra in the summer because we're charging them sewer charges on that large amount of water they're taking extra in the summer. We're also charging them for the permit to check their backflow valves. Is that right? Do we do that? Do we do the actual checking of the backflow on these 590
customers? We don't test the backflow preventers, but what we do is we manage the database and all the letters that go out.
Who does the actual checking?
You have a licensed plumber.
You have a licensed plumber that does that.
So that has to be done. So these people are paying extra for the...
Well, yes, but it's like with a lot of the things that go on with the water system, a lot of this is unfunded mandates that are, put in by the EPA.
They have to each year get a licensed plumber to check their backflow?
Yes, they do.
Correct. Okay, so that there is an expense to put a system in. There's a yearly maintenance expense in terms of the licensed plumber. And then, of course, there's the yearly expense of they're paying sewer fees on this fairly significant extra amount of water they're getting each year. So the question is, as I say, for the average customer, for the 6,700 customers, in a sense, it all averages out over the long run because it's a nonprofit fund. So, and it's... it's a little bit of a green eye shade trick as to how we balance the charge between the water fund and the sewer fund, because we don't actually meter sewers.
Right.
But so that the question on the table is, should we be making a special provision for the people who have automatic irrigation systems, the 8% of the customers? I haven't formed an opinion on that at the moment. I'd be interested in hearing from other council members on that. Thank you.
Anyone else from the dais? Alderman Vogelsberg from the confines of your home. Any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Anyone from the audience at all?
Is there a recommendation from the department on these numbers? I mean, you've done a nice job here in putting together the information.
Not at this time.
Yeah, I think all of us could attest to the fact that we've received phone calls from residents who said, why do I have to do this? And to your point, Alderman Brown, it's required by the state. So we're simply passing along the information as the regulations were adopted.
As far as the backflow preventers.
The backflow, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to clarify that staff is not coming forward with a recommendation. We're just presenting you with information because we promised that we would.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. We promised that we would come back and explain, you know, what the impact to the budget would be. And right now, if the council's interested, we could formulate and come back with a recommendation if the council so chooses to do that. But right now, it's just a matter of points of information that we're providing. I would also point out that this analysis was done based on all things being equal. If we were to come back and say this is something that we believe that the council should consider instituting, chances are we would also come back at the same time and recommend an increase in water rates, and we're not doing that.
In order to make up the difference.
Correct.
Since we believe we're operating at a zero profit level.
Correct.
At the moment.
Because we're showing a loss in our water fund to date this fiscal year of about $5 million. So we're really not in any position to continue giving credits without some plan in place for the future at least. But again, if the council so chooses, we'd be glad to put some numbers together and come back with a recommendation.
Can I ask one more question?
Certainly.
Mr. Mayor?
Certainly.
How does this apply to people who are filling swimming pools, which is another, you know,
very
large delta function increase in water?
Sure. I mean, we get requests, you know, probably 2-3 times a year for something like this, but it really wasn't put into, you know, actual numbers.
We do not give any kind of a credit.
No, we do not.
The only credit we currently give for special metering is for developers and construction. Is that correct?
No.
Which probably doesn't even apply to residential. Or do we give it for new lawns?
No. All that we do is we allow them extra watering time for new lawns. So, yes, that's the only.
So at the moment, the fund basically has no special credits in, and it just operates as a enterprise fund,
correct,
with a prescribed cash flow balance.
Right.
So is there not an additional fee for new
lawn? Although we do charge a $25 fee for the permit itself, yes.
Alderman Hill, then Maladra.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mary, did you imply or did these figures point out that people with automatic sprinkler systems are being charged more, or might they be charged more if that type of a program is implemented in their yard, an automatic sprinkler system?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well,
we're not saying that. A cap would charge them more. It would be less. It would be charging them less.
For the automatic sprinklers systems?
No, not for the systems. They install those themselves, separate from the city.
Okay.
And, Bob, could you explain how that works right
sure,
now?
Sure. When they install an irrigation system, they have to get a building permit.
Right.
So once the building permit goes into action, then we also get notified. So where that there's basically a tag put on their backflow preventer, which makes us contact them every year to make sure that they get their backflow preventer for their irrigation system tested once a year.
Mm-hmm.
From that, we know that we have 593 systems within the city.
Yes.
Okay. So currently right now, as you can imagine, those systems go on automatically. So in general, those people use a lot more water than a person without an irrigation system would, mm-hmm. just because it's automatic. And so we get a lot of complaints over the years to where the system goes on, it's not going into the sewer, why am I having to pay all this extra charges for sewer mm-hmm. fees? So that's where we're at today. Those people would benefit from this cap.
Would the people who do not have the automatic systems, would it be more expensive for them to?
No, it's not more expensive. It would just be a small portion of those folks would receive a little bit of assistance based on the fact the amount of water that they would use throughout the year. Right. It would be above their average usage during the winter, but not as much yeah. as those irrigation system.
The cap would apply to everybody.
Yeah.
It would apply to everybody.
So it has nothing to do with the automatic system. If you water every day yourself, which you're not supposed to do, but you do, you will use extra water and you would benefit from the cap, whether or not you have an automatic system. So it's based on the total amount of water you use. Okay. It's just that most of the people who use lots of water are the people who have the automatic systems.
Correct.
But they're not necessarily the same people.
I have them on either side of my yard, so I guess I benefit in both ways.
You just adjust the sprinkler heads, and you got it made. Alderman Malaja, then Alderman Dantino.
I guess my perspective is just a little bit different.
The microphone, Mr. Malaja, I think. Is it your microphone on? There you go.
My perspective is a little bit different, and it was triggered by something that Mary said. So we took this action in 2010 because the condition of the fund was concerning. Is it your opinion that the condition of that fund as it stands today has materially changed, or is it still in a precarious state?
Are you asking me?
What's that?
Are you asking me or are you asking Bob?
I would hope you would agree. So,
precarious would be a word that I could use, yes, to describe it. It's not solvent to the level that it should be, that I think that we all recognized where it should be. Obviously, as I said, we're down almost $5 million to date this year in our revenues. So we're still working toward a goal, and we've not reached it yet.
Right, so from a perspective of being a steward of that public utility, I think that this discussion's premature. And if we continue down this path, I would ask that we pair with any thought or formula for credits with some sort of statement about how we're going to offer that, and at the same time, guard the health of the fund. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Alderman Dantino.
Bob, you're saying, I think, and Alderman Brown might have mentioned this, but I think we're confusing two things by saying an automatic sprinkler system versus a regular sprinkler system, because if you go out there and water your lawn, you're going to use the same amount
sure.
of water, whether you're doing it by hand with a hose. So why are they recycling their water in these systems? Is that
no, the purpose of me, it was a way for me to distinguish the users who would receive benefit of the cap more than others. It also allowed me to come up with a figure.
I think you're using wrong. I can't agree that that's the right way to go about finding adjustment in the figure.
If I could just add to the discussion, the automatic sprinkler system uses more water because it comes on regularly and it's on for...
Well, if I stood out there with my hose all day, it would be the same.
But people don't do
people
that.
People don't, yeah.
I understand.
It comes on every day at a certain time, and it stays on for a length of time, much longer than someone that's manually doing
it. Most of the times you're correct, but sometimes there are people who manually water and use as much as an automatic. It's not one-to-one, but...
This is a class of people that tend to use more water.
I was just trying to figure out in my mind why he used automatic sprinkler versus a...
Yeah, I know where you're coming from, and it was just a way for me to do a representative sample of our community.
Okay, and then to confuse us a little further with the backflow preventers, that's a whole state of Illinois issue that come into play here.
No. It was just a clarification based on a question. And it the only reason it comes into play is the fact that we have 593 backflow preventers in the system, which is for residential irrigation systems. That's all.
It allowed you to identify
our water.
As far as the rates go,
they're not getting charged any different for our water if they have a backflow preventer or not.
No, correct. But it simply was a way for me to figure out the impact that it would have to the revenues coming in.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Mr. Singer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Robert, point of clarification regarding the automatic systems. Many of the systems that I have seen functioning presently have a means whereby if there is a continuous amount of rain, that there is some means whereby the system will not operate for whatever given time it is supposed to set forth automatically. And then again, as was mentioned here a moment ago, maybe the automatic systems do use more water than one would do normally by using a hose, but if it's during a wet period of time, they could recalibrate those systems where it wouldn't be functioning. So I just don't see the basis here.
The numbers show that they use
the
more.
Numbers.
If you just look at the numbers, it, obviously the 150% cap saves an awful lot more money for those 590 people than it does for the remaining 6,700.
Right.
So it's clear that as a group, that group of people are using a lot more water in the summer. You can see it right from the numbers.
Yeah, I see that. But
it's true
that
as a group, on average, they use a tremendous amount of water in the summer.
Yeah.
But it doesn't apply to any individual in the group.
No.
Right.
I realize that.
And this is just a representative sample.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
From the dais. From the audience, Alderman Vogelsberg?
Nope, I'm good, thank you.
Do we dare jump into the...
All right, let's jump into industrial. So this is currently what our ordinance permits, which was suspended. So the credit for water basically is for water that does not, or sewer credit, is for water that does not go into the sanitary sewer. So example of this would be water that's evaporated in cooling towers and water that is used in products. The total annual decrease, if we went ahead and put this back into effect, by my estimates, would be about $180,000. So based on our sewer budget of $2.5 million, this comes out to be about 7% of our budget. It's as simple as that. A lot less, I guess, confusing than the residential side of things. So with that, I will offer take any questions.
Alderman Hill.
Bob, how does a company qualify to be receiving an industrial sewer credit? A certain dollar volume?
No. It's based on if they have a way of metering their discharge,
mm-hmm.
whether it be through a formal flow meter that would be installed or by way of submitting to us production data, that could also qualify and also be with your approval. So,
as I recall, this year we gave some credit or issued credit to a company that was using some water but putting it in batteries or something like that. Maybe I've got the wrong
right.
description here, but it has something to do with batteries and water.
Sure.
Yeah, there's actually, just if I may interject, I know, Ellen, you have a copy of the email that we received. Our friends from said company actually wrote to us this afternoon explaining that they could not be here tonight, but they did summarize their commentary they provided to us in June, Ellen has printed a copy for our benefit, so all of you have it. And I'm sure...
8 minutes to 7.
Pardon me?
We came in at 8 minutes to 7.
Yeah, exactly. It just literally arrived. And Terry, I will assume you might want to speak to this as well. Mr. Emil from FONA, so...
We only have a few of our industrial customers that avail themselves of this, right?
There are roughly 7 or 8 that I can think of that could take advantage of this.
Out of 1,000?
I'm sorry?
Out of 1,000 industrial customers, commercial and industrial? Or?
No, we only have 31 industrial customers.
So commercial would not
No, commercial would not apply to this.
So it's just your industrial customers?
Correct.
So it's like a quarter of them avail themselves of this.
Could possibly, yes, affect them and affect our budget.
So you're saying that 7 or 8 of these industrial users are responsible for $180,000 decrease in revenue?
Correct.
Sure.
Some of them sell water.
They're selling water, though.
Yeah.
That's not putting it back in the sewer.
Yeah. Right.
Anyone else in the dais or the audience? I know Mr. Emil from FONA. Welcome.
Yeah,
come on up if you could, sir. We'd love to have your commentary broadcast worldwide on the web. What flavor do you smell like today, Mr. Emil? Since you,
it's a blend.
It's a
the only thing I can relate to on a daily basis is we try to think of the smells that smell like money.
There you go. That's
so
good.
It's our business. We do use water as an ingredient in our flavors. And I did a quick calculation. It's about 4% of our total water usage goes into flavor usage and that sort of thing. So I hadn't made really much of an effort previously to go back and try to get a credit or whatever for it. But as you know, there's a couple things in play. First of all, sustainability is a big deal, especially in the industrial market where we're trying to conserve water. We just don't want to use any more than we have to. So we have put some equipment in place, and we've invested significantly to try and cut down on the water usage, and it's worked pretty well for us this year. I think we're down about 35%. Just in the amount of water we've drawn from the city. But second of all, making sure that we're not getting charged for things that we don't put down the sewer. So it's really important to us that if we bring water in and we put it in product and it goes out the door and then not down the sewer, that we can account for that. So pretty much that's pretty simple for us. And we have production records. We can validate every pound.
And Terry, just for everyone's benefit, you work for an organization called FONA, which is Flavors of North America.
Yes.
Located in the beautiful industrial park. And,
right.
And I know you work very closely with Bob and Dan and Mike Buffington and others. So
yeah.
I know this has been an issue of yours or of interest to you for some time.
And we're a newer facility, so I mean we were able to take advantage of some newer equipment when we put it in. But we do make flavors. Our customers are all the big food and beverage companies out there. They come to a company like FONA for the flavor profiles that go into their products. They don't make their own flavors. General Mills doesn't. Wrigley doesn't. Nestle doesn't. They come to a company like us. And so we use a lot of different ingredients. We have over 2,000 different flavoring ingredients that we use, some of them natural, some of them synthetic. But water is a major portion of what we blend in as well. And we have a spray drying operation, and that uses water, and then we evaporate the water off, so it doesn't go into the sewer. Any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Emil?
Power?
Excuse me?
You have a cooling tower?
No. Okay. We don't use a cooling tower. No.
Delnor is the one that gets the credit for the cooling tower.
I would imagine.
Mr. Singer?
Yes. Do you have any idea on what the cost is for the installation of these meters?
No.
Bob, do you have any idea what it might be the cost?
For something like FONA, I think we would rely on a production-based documentation from them to determine the amount of water that is not going down the sewer. It's much more accurate than if we were going to go with a flow meter outside of the facility, because you run into situations of accuracy problems with a flow meter outside the facility.
Apparently, those that are installing these functions feel that in time it's going to be more beneficial as a savings for them to install this equipment, these meters, as such. It's surprising that if there are 31 industrial sites here, that they all haven't moved in the direction of having these systems installed.
I'm not sure why they haven't come forward.
No, I can understand that. But
there are some that have come forward in recent years and have wanted a credit based on what they are actually putting down the sewer.
Okay.
So it's not that nobody has come forward, but
okay. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Tino.
So, Bob, you would just do an audit then based on what a company like Fona is saying they put into the products versus what we're billing them?
What I am hearing that is recommended to me by an outside consultant is that it is much more defensible going with a production data than it would be a flow meter.
Okay, so we'd have to send somebody from our place in and decide. And they would say
It would be some type of audit, probably a once a year audit type thing.
We bill them for million gallons and they only put 500 back in the sewer or whatever.
They would probably receive maybe a twice a year credit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they could live with a twice a year credit. It doesn't have to be monthly.
Oh, absolutely.
They don't want to go through that work every every month either.
Alderman Kilburg.
I had a couple of questions. So were there tax incentives that brought you to Geneva?
I don't think we get any tax incentives.
I mean, were there that attracted you, though, to our community?
Yeah. Okay.
And I guess my next question would be is, if, in fact, this has to be offset by residential users, what would your answer be what would be your response to the community if, in fact, their water bill would increase as yours decreased as a result of this?
The only thing I can say is that we're just not putting it down the sewer. I mean, whatever it is, if it's a zero-based budget, I mean, basically you got to make enough money to run it, then that's what it is. I mean, we're not trying to get something that.
No, I understand.
Yeah,
but
so
that's question here.
I think some of this is, I hate to use the term, but it's kind of like smoke and mirrors. You're going to make up the money you need to make up, and so. It's whatever it costs to run the system. And so that's really part of the reason why we haven't come forward in a significant way in the past is you have to run the system.
And I understand that if we can keep industry in the community and if we can create jobs for our people, that's worth something.
Yeah.
And in the note from Johnson Controls, he talks about that Geneva's competing against other communities where they are advantaged to a degree because they receive the types of adjustments that we're talking about this evening. So it is a bit of a balancing act.
I mean, if we get a tax credit, the next year the rates go up.
But you've shown that the efficiencies of your process, 35%, completely overwhelm this possible.
And we make up for that just by not paying for the water
right. That
we bring into the facility. So, I mean, that's really the efficiency.
Process efficiency dominates everything in your business and most other industrial.
If the automatic sprinklers weren't running every day, then it would use less water.
You benefit from the great quality of our Geneva water?
I can't speak to that because I think there's been some reports that have come to me that it hasn't been great. We do have to treat it.
Okay.
So I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying it still needs further treatment for us to use it.
Yeah. I bet you have to take the chlorine and fluorine out, too, before you make additives out of it.
Yeah.
So part of your treatment is just that.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be food grade, so we definitely need to make sure that it's safe for consumption, absolutely.
Any other comments or questions from Mr. Emmel?
Thank you.
Terry, thank you. Good to see you. Anyone else in the audience regarding in the industrial component of this discussion? Alderman Vogelsberg, do you have anything you'd like to add? Or?
No, thank you.
Mr. Van Gescom. Again, there's no recommendation provided. This is information that was requested. You know, certainly Bob and I know others have heard from industrial clients and residential clients throughout the community and over the years why it is the way it is, and we promise to bring this matter forward for informational purposes. If there's a direction that someone wants to recommend, I think that's certainly acceptable. If we want to review it again in, you know, first quarter of next year, that's fine too. I'll defer to the council.
And just the last slide that I have is some community comparisons. You can see on the left side the communities that do offer credits and caps are listed there. Aurora, Batavia, St. Charles, Oswego, Elgin, South Elgin, West Chicago, and Naperville. And communities that do not offer any credits or caps, I've listed there as Crystal Lake, DeKalb, Elmhurst, Glen Ellen, Hinsdale, Wheaton, and Woodridge.
We're in the middle column. We offer credits but no caps.
Most of these communities, I would say, do, you know, if they're going to offer one, they're going to offer both.
Mr. Singer.
But Robert, aren't some of these communities, are they not obtaining their water from the city of Chicago?
Correct.
Kevin.
Yeah. Mr. Kilberg.
I would be prepared to move forward then with staff preparing some guidelines as it relates to an industrial sewer credit, only an industrial sewer credit. And again, that would require all the elements then that would be required to come into compliance. I just feel that to keep our companies, our industries competitive with competing states as well as other competing communities across the state of Illinois, I think that this is a measure that, as a city council, we can do to help create jobs, create employment in Illinois. And that, again, there is a trade-off here, I understand, but if we're talking about job creation, I think that this is some small measure that we can do to support our local industries.
Does your recommendation include a cap as well, or simply the credit side of the equation?
The credit side.
Just the credit side.
What credits would you offer that we don't already offer? We already offer credits to industrial customers.
I'm talking about the sewer credit that he's outlined here. I'm sorry.
You're saying that
isn't that what we already offer?
Go ahead.
Oh, Jim. I'm sorry.
We already have a provision in our code where we offer that credit, but we came to the council because of the budget situation and asked to place the council to place a moratorium on it until our budget, our water budget, was not in the red any longer. So we have this in place, but there is a moratorium on providing that credit because we're still showing red as far as the revenue goes. What I might suggest is if the council would allow, we are starting, as you know, the budget process. We're going to be plugging numbers into the budgets right now and doing that analysis anyway. Through that process, I think that we will have a better understanding of where we are because we're going to be projecting the revenues. We're going to be looking at expenditures and those projected increases in expenditures that we know that we'll have, and perhaps as part of the budget process that we could come back and give you a clearer picture of where we think we are as to what relates to the budget, as opposed to just removing the moratorium when we know that we're already $5,000 down this year.
$5
million down, right?
I agree with your suggestion, Alderman Kilberg. We should certainly consider removing the the moratorium, but that's, I agree, essentially part of the budget process is the place to do it, right? It was supposed to be a temporary moratorium.
Okay. Well, they were looking for direction, and I guess I'm saying then, as it relates to the moratorium, then I would be in favor of a further study, and I'd ask the staff then to come back with more information and a rationale, more of a detailed rationale as to why we should preserve the moratorium or why potentially we could lift the moratorium, and then essentially that would be offset with an impact on residential fees then. Is that correct?
On all fees.
Definitely. And I think we have to look at trying to figure a way to, I mean, just the, what was it, $180,000 or something?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that number. Oh, decrease in revenue is $180,000. Just to throw that at the residential customers in 1 year, we have to come up with a way of phasing that in. That'll be a huge water increase for the residential customers, which I guess when you really look at it the correct way, they're using the sewers, not the battery company. So I think we'd have to phase that increase in, not just hit them all in the first year.
So if the objective tonight was to look to the council for some direction, I guess I'm saying that's the path that I'd like to proceed on.
Would you be amenable to that information being provided in the budget context then?
Sure.
Okay. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Everyone's clear on that?
Mm-hmm.
Consensus regarding Mr. Kilburg's? Mr. Cummings?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to see us also examine the residential rates. I think if we are running into the red in the budget and it's because we're crediting people back for something that they didn't use, we're not pricing our product right, and that's what it comes down to. If we're running in the red for comping somebody back for not using something, then we're not pricing our product right.
Aren't we running in the red because of a drought?
We're not running in the red. Our revenues are down $5 million because of lack of sales, whether it's through connections or consumption. We're not selling as much as we have in the past. The trend has been down. This past year has been a dry year, so we have sold more this year, but the trend over the last few years has been down. So it's not that we're in the red overall because we're giving credits. We're not showing as many sales as we have in the past, primarily because of the weather.
Okay. I know there's a balancing between covering the fixed expenses and the variable expenses of water. But if it's that variable, I think the whole pricing system needs to be looked at, not just residential, but also
well, we just did
industrial.
We just did.
We just did that.
Right.
Yeah. Mr. Hill?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm not sure who I should ask this question to, if it's Ellen DeVita or Bob or Mary. With this community comparison page, it looks like our neighboring communities are offering credits and caps, and that we do not, as I understand it. Is this a hindrance or a handicap in the potential recruitment of new industries or new businesses? Does anybody have an idea what that answer might be?
I can try to clarify some of this stuff. As far as your question, as far as a hindrance for not offering credits and caps, I don't believe that's the case. If you compare the communities that are there, especially to the north and south, Batavia and St. Charles, they might be giving a credit. But they don't have the same quality of water as the city of Geneva either. Ours is softened, theirs is not. So when you start looking at that, how much are industries looking at the credits and caps, I don't know. But as I think Alderman Brown and a lot of the discussion's been, is we're a not-for-profit organization, so if we give credits, we need to make that up somewhere. And that could spread across everybody, residential, commercial, industrial, to make that fund whole. We just went through a rate study, and if you remember, we had some discussions on caps and credits and all that stuff. We did not include that at the time. Our consultant did look at it. It does result in an increase in rate to essentially cover those credits that we're giving back to the people that are, you know, earning those credits. So I think Alderman Cummings is right. Our rates, if we want to be able to be like the communities to the left and offer credits, we need to get the rates to a point where we can afford that. Right now, our fund hasn't been in a situation where we can afford it. We're just at the beginning of, we just implemented the rate study in July, and if you remember, we spread that increase over, I believe, 3 years. Mm-hmm. So we're still at the very beginning of getting rates where they need to be. 3 years from now, the rates should be where they need to be. But if we offer credits, then the rates need to be adjusted more. Now, a year like this year, where it was hot and dry, we sold more water than we have past few years, for sure. We were back in what year? 2005?
Right.
It was like a 2005 year. So, I mean, this was a good year. We have no idea what next year is going to bring, and that's part of the problem, and it goes back to Mr. Cummings, is our rate, remember when we had that whole discussion, how much is variable, how much is fixed? If we have it mainly fixed, that means the low users pay a lot more, and we didn't want to do that. The city, we had that discussion, and we wanted to keep it still variable, but get the rates to where we can cover our costs. So we're moving in that direction. We've got a couple of years before we're going to be there.
Mr. Mayor, if I could just add, too, I think that we have to look at it from a very broad perspective and not just in a vacuum. When we recruit and try to retain our customers, our industrial, commercial customers, they're looking at more than just the water rates or the water quality. They're looking at the electric rates. They're looking at the tax rate. They're looking at the public services that we provide. So I think that you have to look at the big picture and say, what do we offer as compared to these other communities as a whole?
Okay, fine. I just found the list on the left was interesting in comparison, and so let's study it some more. Thank you very much, Dan.
Alderman Vogelsberg, anything you want to chime in?
No, it's all good.
So we're comfortable with the direction as recommended by Mr. Kilberg with respect to ferreting this out more in the budget context of 2013? Excellent. We expect never to see any more bottled water here at the dais or in the meeting. So. We're looking at you, Dan Tito. Thank you, Bob, very much. Thank you, Dan. Mr. Hamilton, do you want anything more?
I just was wondering if I could get a copy of the report.
Oh, God, yes, absolutely.
The slides that were just sent?
Yes.
Please have my copy.
We can always email you. You know, in fact, we'll probably email our industrial clients,
that would be great,
whom we have lunch with, you know, twice a year. That, no problem. We're down to item number 10, folks, municipal bills for payment. We kindly ask our city clerk to read the recommended level of bills for consideration.
Bills for payment totaled $3,633,920.52.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read. The individual invoices that add up to this amount can be found in the packet on the city's website for tonight's meeting.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes the motion to pay the bills as read and as they appear on the city's website and in the package this evening, seconded by Alderman Hill. Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Donald Cummings.
Aye.
Buff Dantino.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Item 10 passes unanimously. We skip down because item 11 is Committee of the Whole Business. All matters were considered at the consent level. We jump down to item 13, new business. Is there any new business from anyone in the audience this evening? From the dais, I know Mr. Hill has something riveting to share.
I'm not too sure it's riveting, but it was exciting over the weekend. The State Street Dance Studio produced the Nutcracker Suite, Nutcracker program.
Why are you smiling, Mr. Cummings?
At the Batavia Performing Arts Center. And one of our alderman friends was involved in that performance, and it happens to be the gentleman to my left. And Mr. Cummings did a very good job on stage, and from what I heard later on, kept everybody else awake when they were not on the stage. So that was good. But it was a very nice event, and congratulations to Mr. Cummings and to the Linda Cunningham, who's the founder and artistic director of the State Street studio, dance studio located in Geneva, one of our nice businesses in town. And then I've got to also mention about Mr. Cummings. Yeah. He's in this magazine. Not as a centerfold. Maybe he is, but I think that is the center of the magazine, talking about 10 intriguing people. 10 people in Kane County who lead very interesting lives.
What magazine?
Kane County Magazine, December of 2012.
Wonderful.
And why is his life so interesting?
Because he was in the performance. That's one thing.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you didn't say.
Yeah, Nutcracker. He was in it.
Oh. Anyone else on the dais? Any else with interesting lives? Do you want to retort? Do you want to respond to that?
I move we adjourn.
We actually have to go into closed session, so we do have a closed session item. Mr. Malotta, if you want to repeat the motion.
Embarrassing anymore, huh?
I move that we go into closed session regarding the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the public body and the setting of a price for sale or lease of property owned by the public body.
Second.
That motion offered by Malotta was seconded by Alderman Brown. Any questions or comments regarding the motion? A roll call vote is in order. Mr. Clerk? Okay.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Malotta?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Vogelsberg, aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. There will be no action being taken this evening following the closed session. So if we not see you all, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, be safe, and Happy New Year.